slowly rolling into it and off of corner number four. It's showtime at Skagit Speedway.
One car with the front of it that was junk, and another car with the back of it was junk. So I cut both of them in half, took the good part of one car and the good part of the other car, and welded them together.
The reason why I decided to move to Sean's number and use it was just because in memory of Sean was his V8, and I just kind of lived for racing and racing with his number just to remember him by.
Racing, and next thing you know, she's on the flag stand running the, doing flag and all my quarter midget. I'm like, where did you come from?
You definitely have to want it. You can't just say you want it. You got to want it. You got to have that desire that drives you.
I hope they just soak it all in, because you don't know when it could be over, right? Mom and dad can't do this anymore, right? We don't have the money, or we can't find the sponsors, whatever it is. I just soak it all up while it's happening.
That was at Elma. This is a different track. I don't think it'll be the same thing. He's like, oh, okay, you can throw it on. We threw the GoPro on his car, and he actually did pretty good that night, I believe. So we're like, see, convinced him. I was like, see, it's only at Elma. You can't rent a GoPro. And then the next week, I believe he blew up a motor with the GoPro on. So I haven't put a GoPro on his car since then.
Well, welcome into episode number 16 of On the Gas at Skagit Speedway. Blake Anderson, Eric List, and Gary Thomas joins us today to talk Trophy Cup. Gary is the voice of SCCT, but also the PR guru, PR director for Tulare Thunderbolt Raceway. Gary, did I get your title right, and how are you doing today?
Yeah, that's all good. I guess for this segment, Thunderbolt Raceway PR rep is probably it. But I do the announcing at Placerville, and as you say, with SCCT, so I kind of bounce around. Whoever needs help, I'm there. And doing all good here, and hope you guys are as well.
Yeah, we're doing well up here. We were talking off here about the weather. So the weather's nice, and I don't know, can't complain about that. Could be racing, but other than that, you know.
Yeah, and this is the best time of the year. I mean, especially down in California, we always have the hot summers and stuff. So normally October, we finally start to cool down, and it looks like that's what's going to happen here the next week.
Well, Gary, Trophy Cup is coming up. You and Blake will both be there. And what are you guys expecting for Trophy Cup this year? It's under 26 promotions. There's been a lot of fanfare. I mean, there always is with Trophy Cup, but this year things are looking to be just as good as they have been in years past, it seems.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you guys come down. This is always, one of our big showcases for the year. I mean, between this and the Gold Cup, it doesn't get much bigger than that in the Golden State of California. So, it really is. It's like an all-star West Coast showcase. The best of the best from California, the best from Washington and Oregon. And it makes it a lot of fun. I know, the National Series are running this weekend. So, might take a few guys away. But we got a lot of heavy hitters out here on the West Coast, and it's going to make it exciting.
I feel like this weekend, Gary, or I should say next weekend with Trophy Cup, is truly the West Coast race. Kind of similar to what Dirt Cup is. It's one of that because, as you mentioned, High Limit is racing. The World of Outlaws are racing. There's a lot happening on the national scene. It just kind of the schedule's landed that way. So we don't really have a invader coming in. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity to really showcase the great talent on the West Coast. We're on Flow Racing this year, so increased coverage of the event, which will be, I think, really going to help us grow things as we look forward to next year and 5-10 years beyond.
Yeah, that's what I always love about the Trophy Cup. And like you said, with the Dirt Cup, it really is the showcase of our West Coast talent. And with the purse this year, the historic purse, the most the Trophy Cup's ever paid out, there's going to be some local guys and females that go home with some good money. So I think that's a positive. And being on Flow to have the most eyeballs we've ever had at Trophy Cup, I think is certainly going to grow that event. You see what, the other major events on Flow, how much they've grown over the last few years. So I think the same thing is going to happen with Trophy Cup.
I'm excited. It's been my first Trophy Cup. So I've never, John Hager that Trophy Cup's been probably P1 on my bucket list of events I want to get to, and Tulare for that. Yeah. That track's been P1 too, so it kind of goes hand in hand for more than a decade, and it's going to be fun. I'm really excited, and we've got a great field building. We're up in the upper 50s already and expecting more to come in the next couple of days.
Yeah, you know, last year I thought it was almost perfect with 65 cars or so. It just seemed like it everything flew by good. And, you know, with all the post-race parties and stuff, you don't want to get done too late. We back in the days when we were getting 90 to 100 cars, sometimes it would go to 1 a.m. And obviously when it's 1 a.m., people don't really want to go over and eat and drink and listen to music. So, you know, if we can get done by 9, 9:30, I think that's a perfect deal. And, yeah, you said it, Blake, the Trophy Cup is – it's a bucket list event for people. And I think going back to the flow deal, now that more people are going to be seeing it from back east, I think it's going to add to that bucket list for a lot more people as well.
Gary, you mentioned it, the after party, but there's a lot of new things going on this year from the, what you could say, kind of fan fest that involves the live autograph and a live show. Can you guys kind of elaborate on what they'll be for the fans to experience when they come to Tulare?
Yeah, that's what Trophy Cup's kind of been about over these years, as well as, you know, the post-race parties. And I like what 26 Promotions is doing with the extra events. I think you guys did it with the high limit race up there where you had the bowling deal with the drivers and stuff. And I think it was John Hager I was talking to, and he said he wasn't expecting it to be, you know, all that great. And he said it was packed. So, I mean, hopefully this Wednesday night kickoff party can be similar to what you guys have in Skagit. And, you know, all the other the post-race events that we've always had the last several years were on hand, and got the cornhole tournament on Saturday for the first time in a few years. They actually did that a few years ago, and it was really well attended. So hopefully it's the same way as well. But, yeah, the post-race parties is kind of a staple of the Trophy Cup.
Will you be throwing bags there, Gary?
No, you know, it starts so darn early. I think, what does it start, bags at 10 a.m.?
Yeah. Check-in 9 starts at 10, yeah.
9? No, I'm not up at 9.
All right.
Yeah, I'm same boat. I feel like that's kind of, the post-race parties is kind of a staple of California sprint car racing. You think, you know, Gold Cup is obviously synonymous with having these wonderful post-race parties, and now Trophy Cup kind of following the same suit. I feel like that's kind of a little bit of California MO is, can we get the event done but before 10, which I think – it should be the goal for every track in the country. And then you get a good post-race party. And that's how you build an event, not just a race, as an event. And that's what we're looking to do at Trophy Cup, is truly continue to capitalize on the event atmosphere that has been established the past 30 years.
Yeah, and that's what's really made the Trophy Cup grow the last 10 to 15 years. I mean, when they first started doing these parties, they were, you know, nowhere near the attendance as they've been the last 10 years or so. And I know that the fans, the racers look forward to it. It's one of those opportunities where you get the fans and the racers together in one place, which we don't have the chance to do that, you know, all that often anymore. You said that, you know, the Gold Cup, we do that every year. So, yeah, it is kind of a California deal where we like having these post-race parties and stuff. And it's a staple.
I'm looking forward to what we can do next year. I know that this year I feel like we're kind of scraping the tip of the iceberg. It's shot one at things for us with 26 Promotions. And, you know, now we can promote the event year round and truly, you know, bring, I think it's going to increase attendance. I expect next year's Trophy Cup to be the best attended Trophy Cup in quite a while, just based on the simple fact of we can really start to build it and expand upon what we learned this year.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the same thing. You know, I mean, everything kind of got going a little later. I know, you know, everybody down here was busy. You guys were busy up there. But now that everything is kind of in place now, you know, it could get going a little earlier next year and start building up even different things to do. I know that John had mentioned that, you know, we'll try different things. And if they work, they work. If not, you know, we'll try something different. But that's how it goes. And, yeah, I think next year is going to be pretty massive. You know, I don't know how the schedules are going to fall. You know, you never know until the promoted workshop, but hopefully it's, you know, maybe not on top of one of those big race weekends where the national series are there.
I can tell you that is the goal.
Yeah.
Not have it be the week after the high limit finale. And now obviously there's a lot of moving pieces there, but that's kind of the goal. And the intention is to hopefully bring it off that, and we can get some star power here. And not that there's not star power, that's not to diminish what we have, but just added star power never hurts anybody. And that'll help grow the event. And boy, it's this event is truly a phenomenal event. We just hope we can continue to kind of carry on what Dave Pusateri and gang have built for 30 years and make it even bigger and better. That's kind of the goal. And I am excited. I haven't been this excited for a race in a while.
Yeah, it's, you know, there was a time where when Dave was talking about retiring 10 years ago where, you know, we weren't sure if it was going to continue on. And I know the fans and racers were, you know, almost heartbroken to have that fact. So very thankful that 26 Promotions, all of you guys got on board. And, you know, like like you said, you can continue that legacy and make it even bigger and better. So, yeah, that was always kind of the fun years was when we had some of those national cars come out that we don't get to see all that often. And, yeah, next year, like you say, that's the goal. And hopefully that's exactly what happens.
I feel like it was what Trophy Cup 25 was kind of like, okay, this is – I remember that from watching from afar of like, hey, make sure you have to race this year to race in next year's final Trophy Cup.
Yeah, it was 25, and I think the 20th it was the same deal where it's, you know, they was like, I don't know if I'm going to keep doing it, and you know, we got to find somebody to continue on because it is a, you know, it's a ton of work. I know that, you know, 26 promotions have been down here beating the pavement. I think John's down here for about 3 weeks or so, taking up residency down here.
That's what I joke.
To Larry.
That's what I told him. I said, you're going to have a California license when you come back next month.
Yeah, enjoying Tulare. And, you know, it's a good town. There's all the good restaurants and stuff. You know, it's
not
as big of a hub as, you know, some of their major towns. But it's perfect for what this event is with the hotels and the different restaurants and stuff. But, yeah, as you talked about it earlier, you know, Thunderbolt Raceway is a destination track, and it's a bucket list place that if you've never been to, you got to go to once.
100% bucket list track.
It's on my bucket list.
Like I said, it's P1 on my bucket list.
There's a numerous amount of drivers coming from Washington, Oregon, of course, all your California locals. Who are some of the drivers you guys are keeping your eyes on, whether it's, you know, an out-of-stater or is it someone from California?
Well, I when I was up there in July for the 360 Nationals, I mean, obviously, Trey Starks from up there is he's the man to beat now in Washington, and he had a good night last year on the final Atlanta Trophy, kept picking up the win. So, I mean, he's obviously going to be fast, but there's several cars down here in California. I think the one nice thing with not having maybe a ton of the big national guys out here is it's kind of a wide open field.
Yeah.
Just with some of the people. I mean, obviously Spencer Baston's coming. He's going to be tough. You know, Anthony Macri's seen he's on the list. You know, he's going to be difficult with Tyner Hurst Enterprises. But you got a lot of kids out here like Caleb Montgomery and Dominic Gordon and, you know, middle-aged guys like Shane Golubic, obviously, that have won this event three times. And Tim Kading, three-time winner, was very fast last weekend. But, yeah, I think it's a wide open event right now.
I'm excited to see, like, the young kids, too. I mean, up here we've got Levi Hillier that's 15 years old and impressive, and down there you've got another 15-year-old that is certainly turning heads in Austin Wood. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing Jet Barnes is going to be there. That's another one. Like, I feel like – and then Jason Solwald's coming down from up here.
That's going to be great, you know, to watch.
Legendary on the West Coast. So we literally – we have guys in their 50s racing. We have 14, 15-year-olds racing. The future of racing. You can really see it all at Trophy Cup, and I think that's what's – kind of unique to that event, and we're going to be able to see guys that are, you know, maybe on their Twilight Tour and kids that are looking to hopefully get to the highest levels of our sport in the next 5 to 10 years.
You talk about Jason Solwald. He was a staple down at Trophy Cup for several years, but it's been quite some time since we've seen him. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him down here, as well as Levi Hill, you like talked about. I was very impressed with him as well.
And Jason's been this year
he's
as
been
fast
phenomenal.
As I've seen him in the last
so
couple
good.
Years. He picked up 360 wins. So, I mean, I would say – doing the stats, this is one of his better seasons he's had at Skagit in quite some time. I mean, he's always been
a fixture of consistency,
but this year he was able to click wins off, which he hadn't been able to do the last couple of years. He'd been able to knock down second and third place finishes, but just always be there. But this year he was able to click off, I think, 360 wins, and he got a 360 wins, got a 410 win. So he's been as fast as I've seen him in the last couple of years.
In 11 races, he missed the top 10 once.
Yeah, so there
Skagit.
You go.
So,
wow.
In the 360,
You don't normally see that as guys get older either, as we know. You know, sometimes they start to slow down. But, that's pretty cool to hear that Jason's having a good year.
And it's not that he's just been rolling the bottom to win either, GT. He's been on the fence several two of those wins he won up on the fence. So, yeah.
So he's ready for Tulare.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what I was getting at is he's ready for Tulare. I think, you know, where in years past he's kind of been Danny Lasoski, where if the bottom's there, he's going to be hard to beat. Where this year he showed, I'll hop on the fence and teach the kids
really
how
well.
To do it.
Well, you throw another one there. Colton Heath, you want going down. Same to Jason. He had one 360 win, 8 top fives, 10 top tens, and 11 features. So, again, the top three in Skagit 360 points, Trey, Solwald, and Heath, missed the top 10 once. But Colton Heath,
I mean, Levi
go
in
down.
There, too. I don't know. Did Levi miss the top 10?
Levi missed it
twice.
He had 9 top 10s and 11 features.
He was
fourth, so.
Okay.
There's a lot of consistent and strong cars coming out of Skagit this year, as there always
That's
are.
I enjoyed, like I said, going up there for the 360 Nationals and, you know, getting back to Skagit after several years. So I'm looking forward to all that. And I've even a Jesse Schlotfeldt that had a tough night last Saturday. But, man, I've been super impressed with him, especially on our speed week when he went up and saw you guys. He he's going to be one of the future stars on the West Coast, it looks like.
He was in the mix on the in the NARC feature on Saturday night at Tulare, and what, broke with five to go or something like that?
Yeah.
It was
late. Just had no luck at all on Saturday, but sometimes you want to get that bad luck out of the way before Trophy Cup comes along. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him back. And, I mean, you got other California guys like Landon Brooks that has teamed up with Tiger Hurst Enterprises, and he's going to be really fast. You know, Tanner Holmes obviously won the NARC race last week.
Ran away.
I said that was a pairing I was going to mention, yeah.
Yep. And he won earlier this year there in May during one of the Twin 20s. So you know that he and that team are dialed in.
I'm excited to see what TK can do. Too. I mean, that was neat to see him win on Saturday night. To me, it's like watching TK win, especially in California, just has a different vibe than a lot of drivers winning at their, you know, respective racetracks.
Yeah, it's awesome to see the fans too. You know, after he wins the race, it's like you see all of your normal longtime sprint car fans going down and congratulating him. So that was cool. It's amazing. You know, for years and years, we've been talking about him having a chance to tie his father, Brent, as the all-time leader in Trophy Cup wins. And he hasn't got it done since 2009, so it's been a long, long time. Yeah. But those guys seem to be pretty confident, and you know, it's you got to get qualified well, and you got to have the brakes fall your way.
Here's another one that I'm interested to see is Chance Grasty. I feel like Chance 100%. Was a kid that was doing a lot of 360 stuff early in the season, and I know it was running pretty heavily with you guys at SDCT. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the last month or two, I've seen him run more 410 stuff than even 360 stuff.
Yeah, and I know the goal is for them to do a little more 410 stuff next year, but he's another one that's really come on. A couple of SECT wins, the first of his career that came this year, and he and that X1 team, they're pretty dialed in, especially with that 360 program. So he's going to be another one. Like, it's funny, we're talking about all these great drivers, even without some of those national names. It's just there's a lot of top local talent out here.
Here, I'll throw in one more, even Tyler Thompson. He ran really well here at Skagit during High Limit. He had been on the podcast and talked about going down. He's going to be a fun guy to go watch. He's been running really well, peaking at the right time, it feels like.
Yeah, what car is that he's in, that Tim car? I noticed he's been pretty good.
Lemley.
Yeah.
Lemley car.
That is a Lemley car. Okay.
Yeah. So,
but it's a partnership with Jeff Needham, but
it was a Needham car up here. I don't know if that's
just the Lemley car, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed he did really well when the High Limit was up there. So, I'm really excited to see him come down. He obviously got some California experience earlier this year running with the main team. So, I know he's got some confidence going.
Yeah, that High Limit car was Jeff Needham.
Well, it was Needham, but Lemley's
with a
motor.
Lemley motor. But you'd have to you'd have to confirm with him down in Tulare. I think it's,
it's
a Brock car, yeah.
Lemley car seems like it's come down almost every year for Trophy Cup.
Yeah.
At least the last 20-some-odd years. He's always been one of the big supporters.
And I think that whole deal with Tyler came together at High Limit.
Like, I think it
Brock
did too.
Was having so much fun. They said, let's do Trophy Cup. And then Tyler said on our podcast, the next day Brock came back and said, we got our Airbnb booked. Yeah. So I guess we're doing it.
So they're ready to go then.
Yeah.
They're ready.
Which is
they're
great to see Brock excited about racing. The Lemleys are just obviously, when you think of the Pacific Northwest, Skagit area, Deming, they're one of the first family names that come to mind to me is the Lemleys. They're so
100%
entrenched in Skagit County, Whatcom County racing up here in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And back when I was going up there all the time, the Lemleys were, you know, they were just a total staple. And like I said, they always seem to make their way down to Trophy Cup, the entire family.
Yeah. That'll be really cool with all these, them and just the whole family, but bigger vibe of Trophy Cup as well. Now, one of the different things I think what makes Trophy Cup really unique is kind of that format. You can win on Saturday night, but still not win the overall Trophy Cup. What does it take for you guys, you think, to put together, if you're a driver, three nights to actually win Trophy Cup? Because, again, you can win the final night like Trey Starks did last year, but still not win the bigger, what's the word for it? The bigger overall.
Biggest piece of the pie, kind of. Yeah. That's what's so great about Trophy Cup. And I was just about to mention the format this year, I think, is probably the best format that I've seen the Trophy Cup have, you know, with just a few tweaks, but all the same principles are there. You got to pass cars. But there's, you know, the few tweaks they've made with the format, I think is really going to make it the most fair Trophy Cup we've ever seen just by having, you know, a couple passing points here and there added in. And, I'm really looking forward to that, seeing how that plays out.
It's going to be the format to me is something that intrigues me at Trophy Cup because you have to be on it every 100%. Time you're on the racetrack. It's definitely one of those every lap matters formats that we see here at Skagit for our premier races at Eldora We've used it in the past, Eldora, and they use it for the late models, and then Knoxville. Like, every time you're on the racetrack outside of hot laps, you've got to be on your A game.
Is there another format besides Trophy Cup that, again, you can win the final night but not have the overall points? Because Nationals, you win the final. Like,
oh, Nationals, you win the Nationals.
You win the final, you win the Nationals. Eldora, you win the Kings Royal, you win the Kings Royal. Like, I can't think of another race that has a similar format to Trophy Cup.
There's kind of a race within the race at Trophy Cup.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what it is. And it's funny. You read some of the comments, like last year when Trophy Cup was done, and some of the fans were saying, well, I can't believe there's a race where not the race winner gets it. And they were going on and on about it. But, you know, that's what makes it exciting, is because it's the guy that, you know, gains the most points all weekend long. They've had the best weekend of anybody. And, you know, no matter how the format is, though, it always seems like the cream always rises to the, you know,
it always
top,
does,
no matter
100%.
What. The only change I would petition for, and this is just me selfishly, is make Friday night and make a combined points Friday and Thursday.
Yeah,
don't take the best of the two. Like, I don't know. Knoxville Late Model does that, where they take the best of the two. I hate it. Like,
yeah,
that's fair.
I'd rather just combine them. Like, make it, the guy's got to perform on Thursday night and Friday night.
Yep, I thought that too. You know, it's just because then you're really getting the overall weekend champion.
Correct. Not just a guy that had a really good Thursday and a crappy Friday, but his Thursday's really good. I mean, that's kind of, especially for what we're paying. Like, I feel like,
exactly. And I know they do that because they, you know, the excuse was that if you did that, maybe you wouldn't have as close of a battle going into Saturday. But you know, just to have the guy that, you know, performs the best all three nights, I think, is the best way to do it.
I mean, like, you're rewarding a guy for being consistent. And I still feel like we could have great battles.
Yeah.
I'm like, shoot, you're especially with the way that the field is inverted on Saturday night.
Yeah.
That's going to create battles just within itself right there. And maybe you don't have a great battle for the win, but you second pays a lot of money, and we're going to have good battles there. Like,
absolutely.
You're going to have a battle for us to talk about when you're paying 24 guys in points.
Right. And I, you know, the other thing I like about this year's format is the way that, you know, the cars get into the main events on Thursday and Friday. You know, back last several years, it's been where you get the heat race winner and the highest point car to get into the main event. And it just kind of, you know, some guys, it seemed like it didn't flow as well. But now we can kind of go into that points format like we saw with, was that we did it 360 National, and maybe Dirt Cup as well. I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah,
yeah, I think so too.
I can see that, or taking the top five and, you know, or whatever, and making a guy get up on the wheel and pass.
Yeah.
I can see both sides of it, but I do like either of those options better than what we had in the past. And that's not, I'm not taking away from what you guys had used.
Yeah,
in the past,
not knocking it.
I think
that
you can always be improving, right? And I think this is a little improvement, and maybe next year.
We talk in the fairgrounds and we say the same thing every year. How can we improve it? You know, and I think this maybe will be a way that maybe the fans will say, think it's improved.
And I'm going to harp on John. I'll be working John all year for combined Thursday and Friday.
I like that.
We're paying big money. Let's, you know, go earn it.
Yep. I don't like split fields either. I like having everybody run every night for this.
I agree there too.
Perfect.
Unless we're getting to the point.
It's not a split.
No, it's not.
Okay.
If we get 100 cars, then okay, maybe I could start to hear like, hey, let's split the field. But
right.
I agree. If we're going to have 50, 60, even 70.
Yeah, even 70.
Make a guy earn it.
Oh, I agree. Yep. Split fields.
I want to watch the best. You want to see the best of the best every night with this kind of a format.
100% do. I don't want, don't dilute things. I agree there.
Yeah,
unless
exactly.
We get, like
no,
I said,
no
unless we're getting to 100, then
if we get 100 cars, then
we'll revisit that when that becomes the story, right?
Those days may be over, but you never can tell.
Look at Knoxville for the 360 Nationals. They've been under 100 the last couple of years,
and that's with a lot of
national touring guys not going down to Peavely.
Yeah, good point. Still not getting to where
even
it was.
The 410s are slow. They're over 100, but that's slowly dropping compared to what it was.
So 410s has been growing, actually. It's been pretty steady or up a tick, honestly.
Okay. Well, my apologies.
Pretty steady around 100 to 110.
Okay. I feel like I remember years
100.
In the past where it was. No,
it hasn't
been below 100
in, like, I'd say over 10 years. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But it's been pretty steady at 104, 105, 106.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, it hasn't went below 100, but it's not.
It's been pretty steady.
It's been really good, though.
And that's a good number for an event like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And obviously, then you got to split the field when you have that many cars.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, what it pays, hopefully it can keep growing. That event, just that purse has been growing. And Trophy Cup, I feel like our purse this year that John and Kev rolled out is going to only help us grow in years to come.
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, you know, $1,000 to start each main event. I mean, $7,500 to win the prelims at $10,000 plus the point money. You know, I mean, hopefully some drivers that aren't racing it this year take a look at that and think about coming next year. Maybe I will.
Yeah, GT said it, but $7,500 to win both Thursday and Friday. Saturday pays $10,000, but $30,000, excuse me, to the top point earner come Saturday. And yeah, $1,000 to start all three nights of the A main. So really good money in Trophy Cup this year for sure.
Yeah, you probably see a record number. Like last year, looking at my notes here, Corey Day won $32,130. So, you know, obviously it's going to be a record winner, whoever gets that big money this year.
Yeah, that's going to be huge. And that's money that for the right team is really big. I mean, any team, it's really big. But if you get, you know, the right team, anyone can win it. That money goes a long ways, especially come the off season and getting ready for next year. So that's always fun.
Yeah. You never know who's going to do. I mean, you can even got like Caleb Montgomery. I don't know if we talked about him earlier, but he's, you know, been really fast. He's had some tough luck at times, but I mean, he's going to be a super favorite going into the weekend as well.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, when he nearly clicked off the high limit win at Placerville, that I think the place was on the edge of their seat, whether they were going to see Caleb Montgomery win a big race or Justin Sanders get his long awaited first national touring win that he's just been pounding on the door for the past couple of years and has kind of eluded him. But I think that's going to open the Pandora's box for him of many big wins to come now that he's kind of got the monkey off his back. But yeah, no Justin Sanders at Trophy Cup either, because he'll be out with high limit racing at Texas.
Yeah, no Sanders, but old Max Mitry's been having a pretty darn good year himself. You know, ran second last week, and I had won the Speed Week Championship.
I had mentioned that to somebody up here at Skagit, and I can't remember who, that I feel like Max Mitry might be one of the most improved drivers that I'd seen from 2024 to 2025, the growth that he took just in the past year. Only seeing him race but a couple of times a year, I feel like, boy, he's really elevated his game.
Agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely would put him as one of the most improved drivers, you know, out here on the West Coast. And he just keeps getting better and better. You know, he took some time off there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And now he's kind of back in the swing of things. And he's had a mighty fine year.
Which is fun to see. I mean, hopefully, and things are changing on the West Coast, I think, for the better. And we're hoping we can kind of get the money continue to grow, especially down there. And obviously, you know, some plans will start to come into play for next year with NARC, with Kevin, Brad now owning NARC, and kind of my viewpoint, and I have not been involved in any of the talks at all, I'll be fully transparent, I think with Kevin Brad owning NARC, it's going to be the best thing possible for sprint car racing in California, because now you're going to see more cars and better cars at NARC races and SCCT races and the open races, where they can kind of work alongside each other maybe a little bit better. And that's not taking anything away from what Jim and Brent did at all, but now we can kind of really elevate some of those major events on the West Coast by working together.
Yeah, I think it's all going to be positive stuff for the entire West Coast by having them get involved in a series down here. And, you know, this year was actually kind of interesting the way that, you know, SCCT and NARC was. It seems like, you know, SCCT was kind of those youngsters that kind of starting out, and, you know, some of the veterans with NARC. But now hopefully, you know, we'll continue to see some of these youngsters, you know, prosper and move into the 410s. And then we'll see that next group of youngsters coming out of the micros and the outlaw kart ranks, you know, step up into the 360 and just kind of have that natural progression.
We're seeing that natural progression. Eric and I've talked about it almost every episode here at Skagit, and hit on it again. We're starting to see that at Skagit, where guys jumping out of Deming up into Skagit, and whether it's a sporty or a 360, and it's a good ladder. And you guys really that ladder system
so
down
healthy.
In California. It's so healthy with the micro sprint scene down there. And hopefully you can see some of those veterans run some SCCT races too, because that gives those youngsters an opportunity to learn, which they don't, and grow their game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to race with the best if you're gonna improve and learn. And you know, we've seen that obviously, no matter where you are in the country, that's how it goes. And I think it's going to be good for the overall health of everything. I mean, Scott Russell obviously has a good relationship with Brad Sweet. Scott's the promoter of SCCT, a good relationship with Brad, a good relationship with Kevin and John and everybody. So I think that they're going to work together, you know, probably as well as they've ever done.
I couldn't agree more. And I just think that's only going to help sprint car racing in the state of California, because it's going to allow teams to make more money. It's going to allow guys to race more. So I'm excited to see, you know, have a conversation with you not next year, but maybe 2-3 years from now to see, like, hey, where are we now compared to where were we in 2026? Because we've seen it at Skagit every year since Kev and John purchased the racetrack. Mm-hmm. This place has gotten better every single year. Our racing's more competitive. Our fields are deeper.
100%.
I mean, you look at our 410 field now. Our 410 field now is 7-8 guys, 9-10 guys can win every single week. And a couple years ago, it was probably 2 or 3.
Wow.
So
yeah, I remember they talked about their vision when Kevin and them, you know, took over the deal. And when I was up there to see the improvements was pretty amazing. I mean, that facility is just second to none. I know, you know, one of the final good improvements is to get you guys that new tower.
That elusive tower.
Yeah, at some point.
Sometime we'll get it. But I think you'll only see the same with NARC, Gary. I think you'll see steady improvement year to year. You know, where they are in 2026, you're going to look back when we're sitting in 2028 and say, man, that's where we were in year one. Look where we are now. So I think we're going to see a strong revival of NARC, which is good. I do kind of laugh at, you know, some of the snide comments people made, like, oh, is Brad going to kill it like he did the All-Stars? No. I mean, why would the two guys that only want 410 racing to thrive on the West Coast buy the lone series on the West Coast to kill it? The All-Star deal had to happen the way it did, honestly. There was no – it had to take a year off.
I mean, and it worked out. It seemed like it worked out for,
worked
you know,
out just fine. I mean, Rich Farmer is now running things, and the All-Stars had a great year and kind of
I noticed that.
Taking some of the guys that would cherry-pick some wins in Northwest Ohio, getting them out on the road, and it worked quite well, and I think Rich will do even better next year. He learned a lot in year one, and the All-Stars will be healthier and kind of back. I don't think you'll ever see the All-Stars be what, you know, the level that maybe we had them at the past.
Yeah,
But it would be tough to get back to that level, though.
It's tough because now you've got two national touring series out there. So, But I think Rich can certainly get it to the point where they will be as high as they can possibly be and be as competitive as they will and a nice breeding ground for talent like Northwest Ohio is. I mean, shoot, how many drivers have we seen go from your neck of the woods in California and go to Northwest Ohio and go to the Linder driving school for a year and win outlaw and high limit races the following couple of years?
Yeah, they send them on their way after they go with the Linders and stuff. I mean, that's been really cool. But yeah, I think, you know, the All-Stars is a regional series, and NARC can kind of be like that.
Where it's just a
regional series, and you know, there's Glow Racing obviously is behind them, and you know, a lot of eyeballs are going to be on it. So I think it's going to be all positive next year. I'm just, you know, excited to see what the schedules look like.
Yeah, and I'm excited too. I think, as you mentioned, once we get through the WRPA Reno thing, usually that's kind of when we get our Skagit schedule really ironed out. We kind of probably usually have it on the table and then kind of put the final stamp of approval on things post those. But I think you'll start to see the NARC schedule roll out not too long after that, I would imagine. A lot to happen. I mean, shoot, NARC races till November 2nd, I believe, is their finale. So they still have 4
weeks
left.
California Racing.
Yeah, we go all the way till
Thanksgiving.
October 31, and we into SCCT. Next night ends NARC, and then we go all the way to Thanksgiving and
with midgets.
After that, with midgets, then we have our outlaw kart stuff that really gets going heavy. So there's
no off-season.
For some of these kids, there's no off-season.
How's SCCT been since you guys were up here for the 360 Summer Nationals back in July was that?
July.
We kind of been light since then, you know, because basically right as soon as we got done with that, you know, you had Knoxville, and then right after Knoxville, we had the National Series out here. So I think we've only ran twice since then. But I thought Speed Week was a pleasant surprise. I mean, that was one of the more successful Northwest Speed Weeks in a long time with, I mean, realistically, it was 17 teams that pretty much made them all.
Yeah.
I think a few teams missed that last race in Elma, but it blew me away. I was not expecting it to be that healthy. So it was a testament to the teams down here, the teams in, you know, Oregon and Washington. And we had, you know, a car from Texas, car from Montana that came out. So hopefully we're going to have a similar deal next year. I know that Scott's been talking with the bosses up there at Skagit about returning. So I think it could even be better next year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we were off to a great start this year. I feel like that was a really, really strong 360 Nationals here. And it'll only get better with that purse. The purse will be strong again. So,
yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah, that's a fun weekend. A lot of cars here at Skagit, which is the fans enjoy, and it's cool to see
good racing.
Full pit area.
Yeah,
very good racing.
Always wanted to go to that race back. And my mom and I went to Dirt Cup 10 years in a row. And, you know, we always talked about going to 360 Nationals, but never could go. So that was my first time to see it. And, it was cool to see a lot of cars from down in California make the trip up. You know, I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie. I thought there'd maybe be three or four California cars that made it up, because it's, you know, it's obviously a drive, but we had some good support, and I was, like I said, I was pleasantly surprised.
I think next year we'll see more support too, because I will imagine, this is just me, I can't imagine we see a NARC race on top of 360 Nationals again next year, like we've had the past couple of years. So, I mean, that'll, I would imagine, bring 5 to 8 more cars up this way from California, hopefully. I mean, that's, that'd be the goal, but.
Like you said, that's going to help everything, you know.
Everything.
You can, and then kind of massage those schedules.
We can work some NARC races where, you know, some of our Washington cars can get down there and run a couple NARC races. So I think it'll be a two-way street for sure. It's not a one-way avenue.
Hopefully they can build it into Chico. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, Brad and Emma Chico have been trying to have some bigger events. So hopefully it can, you know, even benefit Silver Dollar Speedway and make that have, you know, its best year in a long time.
That'd be great, because for the longest time, Chico was the lone home of 410s on a weekly basis.
Which is so crazy for how
– west of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
Or not west of the – I'd say west of the Missouri. Well, sort of. I mean, Huset's is just across it. So
that's true.
Huset's, but point stands. I mean, I think that's a massive gap. But also, there's not a big sprint car scene between Huset's and, I would say, the Washington-California state lines.
Right.
You can go through Montana, and
it's pretty much 360s. Montana's seeing a little bit of revival on their 360 scene, and so is, you know, Western South Dakota there. So hopefully they can keep thriving, and we get good support from them. Shoot, SCCT, you guys have a driver from Bozeman, Cole Schroeder, that is.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if Cole's we were talking about yesterday. I don't know if he's relocated, but he pretty much he runs primarily in California. But there's a Montana car that's been very very fast.
Yeah, there's another one that, you know, the car is based out of here now, and he was, you know, kind of planning on running, you know, a good majority of the season, but, you know, they started doing pretty well, and he ended up, you know, running full-time with SCCT, and he ran Dardner full-time at Placerville as well, so he got a lot of laps in, and he's another one that's come out of those micro ranks.
Yep,
you'll see him at Trophy Cup.
Absolutely, I'm going to have him on the pre-race show on Saturday. I was just texting with him this morning, so.
That's perfect. Yeah, he's a good one.
He will. I figure that to be kind of I tried to mix it up and get some guys from around the country, and hopefully we've got Cody Gardner coming out from Arkansas.
I noticed that. I'm not familiar with Cody. I saw that name.
I can tell you Cody's a gasser. Cody is not scared to stand on it. Like, I feel like Trophy Cup will be kind of in his driving style for sure.
That's in his wheelhouse.
It is. He's got a couple of wins. I think he's got an ASCS regional win and maybe a USCS win. But I mean, once again, kind of out that Arkansas area, losing I-30 is. Yeah. Was kind of a tough. I mean, that was a major event at Short Track Nationals there that usually happened this time of year, and now that's not on the schedule. And I think it's 410 race now in Texarkana. I'm not even sure if it's happening this year. Mm-hmm. But
That was the one that was always around Trophy Cup. I remember in some years they maybe one or two years they were on the same weekend or something. And then they tried, got it off.
Short Track Nationals was one. There'd be 100 360s there.
Yeah,
I went down and did it 1 year, and we had I think 85, 90 360s. So
okay.
Yeah, they're
yeah, that was huge back in the day.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it was like, you know, the crown jewels of 360 sprint car racing, the Knoxville 360 Nationals, Short Track Nationals, and Trophy Cup. All of them had over 100 car, or in that 100 car neighborhood.
Right. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a bit obviously different nowadays, but you know, the quality is still there.
Yeah, 100%. And we'll see quality. We're going to see a lot of talent next week at Tulare, and it'll be fun. If you're listening and you can't make it down, make sure to watch on Flow Racing. We'll be flag-to-flag coverage all three nights. Yeah.
Supposed to have multiple camera views and old Kyler Shaw manning the production, so it should be good.
And Dean Mills, he'll be on the sticks.
Yeah, the general will be there. And they bought a brand new mixer and a brand new wireless.
I was going to mention, I was going to bring up earlier. I was like, I was trying to think, I had something to jot down and mention. I said, ooh. Yeah, we obviously battled audio problems, which is kind of synonymous with Tulare and stuff. So
always the week before. It's always the week, for some reason. That's the third or fourth time the week or the 2 weeks before Trophy Cup there's been an issue, and we've had to do something going into Trophy Cup.
Hager said, okay, that's enough. Let's go get this figured. So went out, and we got new equipment being set up this week.
Uh-huh. One year the wireless wasn't working, so it was Tyler Walker 1 and Jack Hodenshield was 2nd. I got a photo somewhere of me using the radio and somebody put it up to a cell phone or something. And it's just, for whatever reason, it's like a gremlin the week before Trophy Cup. But hopefully this new equipment will work. It's all clean and new, so we'll think positive.
Yeah, we'll find out next Thursday.
We'll find out next Thursday. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's how it always works.
Yep.
What's the best Trophy Cup that you can recount from?
I know one.
Oh, God, it's probably – I mean, for me, there's probably two. You know, obviously the Larson and Brad Sweet one. That's the famous one. But even, you know, even the year that Tim Kading came from dead last and won, that one was almost even more exciting
for
me.
What year was that?
2009. So that would have been Tim's last – I don't know. I don't think it was a live feed back then, so it probably was kind of lost in the shuffle. But it was Tim started 24th, and Shane Stewart was right there with him. And they were, I mean, neck and neck every single lap. And – at towards the end, Tim just kind of pulled away, and it was he's still the only guy that's ever won from dead last on the final night. So that was certainly a historic one.
The Larson Suite 2013.
That's just,
I was living in Charlotte,
so
and those both were there. We were hanging out all the time, and that was like, oh boy. I feel like that moment is kind of the moment that cemented the legacy of Trophy Cup nationwide from a standpoint of
exactly
put it on the map for everybody. When you've got now brother-in-laws, you know, coming together to the checkered flag and win Trophy Cup. And
I know Brad Sweet still says he won that because, you know, he didn't cross a line or there should have been a yellow flag or something. It's still talked about to this day.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can get Brad back maybe next year. He can get redemption.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah, get redemption.
And he's won it before, so, yeah, he needs to come back and maybe try for a second time. But, yeah, I mean, almost every year has something different. I mean, even some years where the track took rubber, but there was still intrigue where it was you didn't know who was going to win the title till the final laps, really. But, yeah, I mean, they had some good ones in San Jose. And it's incredible. This is the 20th Trophy Cup at Tulare at Thunderbolt Raceway. So it seems like yesterday that, you know, it moved over to Tulare from Hanford. But, 20 years already is incredible.
I don't know the history behind that. Why did it change to Tulare?
Yeah, so basically Hanford shut down back in 2005 and midway through the year. So Dave Kuzateri was looking for a track, and Steve Faria said, oh, bring it on over here, which is, you know, obviously it's pretty close to Hanford, within 25, 30 miles or whatever. So it was a perfect home for it. And Steve has supported the event, through everything over the last 20 years.
I feel like now it's people don't. I would imagine a lot of people outside of longtime Trophy Cup fans probably don't even realize that the first 10 iterations of Trophy Cup were not even at Tulare, because it's so synonymous with Tulare now.
I'll
like
admit
you think
that
of Tulare, you think of Trophy Cup, you think of Trophy Cup, you think of Tulare. They're hand in hand.
Yeah, they're hand in hand. And it's, it started. So Dave Pusateri lived in San Jose, and when he first brought about the idea of the race, it was held at San Jose Speedway for several years, and that track closed, and they moved it over to Watsonville for 1 year, and that was well documented as the worst Trophy Cup ever. There was all kinds of different things that went on, but then it moved to Hanford the next season, and then again after Hanford closed down midway through that year, it came over to Tulare, and it's been the home ever since, and hopefully the only home for it.
Was that a chaotic year, the year it switched, of like trying to find that home after Hanford closed its doors, you know, mid-season, to scramble and find a home for it and a matter of a couple months?
Yeah, I remember Dave Pusateri was talking about how chaotic that was, losing Hanford. But fortunately, like I said, Steve Faria was all on board with it. And I mean, the support that Steve's given it with helping out at those post-race parties and, you know, helping rent stuff and different things. I know that Dave has always said that Steve Faria has never said no to anything. So, that just shows the kind of guy that he is. And I know that they're really excited to be working with 26 promotions, Josh Miller, the GM over there, and Steve Faria, Scott Woodhouse, and everyone. And it's going to be a great partnership, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've said a million times, I cannot wait. I am ready to get down there next Wednesday afternoon and see the place for the first time. And then Thursday, cut them loose and let's go racing.
Yeah. That's it, and hope for a nice, smooth night. Get us done by, 9:15 or so, and then send everybody over to the parties and hopefully raise a lot of money for the different charities.
That is ideal. That's the goal, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think that's another thing that separates Trophy Cup from everything else. It's not just a race. I mean, you're raising – for years you guys raised millions of dollars for Make-A-Wish, literally millions, plural. And now we get an opportunity to do a lot for the Racer Dean Foundation. And the cool thing about the foundation is I try to kill the rumors every time is when Kev puts money up from the foundation, that's money out of his own pocket. That's not money out of the foundation. That's Kevin Rudine Kevin and Monica putting money up in the name of the foundation. So none of the purse money, none of that is coming out of the foundation. So if you donate, you're not donating to the purse, you're donating to the foundation. And then Kev and Monica and John are doing everything else out of their own pockets. So kill kind of sometimes you have to battle that stigma out there. Right, like, why am I donating to this? Like, no, you are. Kev's paying that bonus or, you know, purse out of his own pocket.
From his deal. That's very admirable. And, you know, and they, if people aren't as familiar with Trophy Cup, you know, obviously Kevin, Monica Rudine have been involved in it for several years, you know.
They, it was a presenting sponsor.
Back when, I think it was back when Dave was talked about not doing it, maybe that next year is when Kevin and Monica came on board and Dave Abreu with Abreu Vineyards came on board. So, yeah, they've been involved with it. They've bought raffle items, it seems like every year. So, yeah, they've been amazing supporters, and it's cool to see them now, you know, take over and continue on the legacy, as we said, the Dave Pusateri built.
Yeah. Well, GT, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it, and it's been fun. We're looking forward to Trophy Cup in a week from today, technically, when this podcast comes out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look forward to seeing you guys, and thank you for having me on, and let's hope for a good and safe event for all.
Yeah. All right. Take care. Thanks so much for joining us.
See you, GT. Welcome back, everybody. A great interview with Gary Thomas there, who is, boy, when you think of sprint car racing in the state of California, he's certainly a guy I think of, as GT kind of does a little bit of everything down there, and including announcing for SCCT, announcing all sorts of events, and the PR guy for the Tulare Trophy Cup and Tulare Thunderbolt Raceway. Gary does just a little bit of everything, that's for sure.
Yeah, Gary's a hardworking guy.
He is.
And it's been a lot of hard work between Skagit and Tulare and everyone putting this on Lisa, John, Kevin, anyone I'm forgetting, sorry, Gary, Blake, yourself. So it's been really cool to watch this event formulate into what it's going to be this year after what it's been in years prior.
I'm excited to get down there. It's going to be a good event. I think right now we're like 55, 56 entries.
Something
closing
like that,
on that. So, you know, a couple entries, people not able to make it. So I think we're right around 55 expected, and more entries expected to come in the next couple of days. They still have a week to get entered, so that's going to be fun. But it will all be on Flow Racing, as our major events are here at Skagit Speedway, all on Flow Racing. So a great partnership there between Kev, Skagit, now Trophy Cup, and Flow Racing. So we're excited to really expand on that. The Cushion had carried it and done a phenomenal job the past handful of years, and Ian and Brian are great guys, and Kev has a great relationship with Flow Racing, so that was kind of easy to kind of melt those into one and promote things for us, and it'll really grow our viewing audience. There's a lot of people subscribed on Flow Racing, and I think this can kind of be a staple event on Flow Racing that they talk about for years to come.
And if you're not subscribed and you're kind of on the fence because, oh, sprint car racing's kind of winding down, it's not. Subscribe to Flow Racing, watch Trophy Cup, but then you go into November, you have NARC, like we talked about. We've got
the USAC races through the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Then you roll into
the
December,
Dome.
And you've got the Dome and Tulsa Shootout with the Micros, which is an incredible event that really blew me away last year. It was my first time. Then we roll into Chili Bowl, and then you hit, you know, then Chili Bowl, you're into January, and a couple weeks later,
high limit
things
start
pick
and
up
then,
and dark, and, you know, it's really, there's not really a down period, and they fill a lot of those gaps with content and
100%.
Stuff like that, so.
It's still a great time to get your Flow subscription.
All
if you
the Lucas
yet.
Oil, and if you buy a year, obviously that's what you're going to buy it as, is a year. It's not to the end of 2025. It's
through the year date.
It's a calendar year, so you buy it October 8th, your subscription going to go all the way to October 7th, 2026.
I think mine's coming up for renew here probably soon.
So, it's a great deal, and you get all the Flow verticals too. I mean, if you like wrestling, they've got a lot of wrestling content in there, and obviously that's kind
there's
of the bread and butter.
Hockey, football, basketball.
Football, basketball.
There's cheerleading,
rodeo.
That was the one thing I didn't know Flow did for the longest time.
That's
I thought
one of
it
their
was
biggest
just racing.
One of their biggest
until
verticals.
I actually looked and went, oh no, they've actually got more than just racing. No,
cheerleading is one of their bigger verticals too.
Oh really?
And obviously it started as wrestling and track and field, but they've got a little bit of everything. Jiu-jitsu. I mean, they're really expanding their coverage. So
and
if
it's
you
all
like
for
all
one
sorts
price.
Of sports and you buy your Flow Racing package, and that gets you every other vertical.
Yep.
So
Flow Racing just gets you Flow overall.
Yeah, it gives you all, I think there's 27 verticals they have.
Yeah. If you pavement, there's pavement racing on there too.
Yeah, they've got a lot of, I mean, I think I believe that
Cars Tour's on there. I don't know.
Cars Tour, and I believe the Snowball Derby is on Flow Racing this year. So that's it. It is. It's not, I believe it is. It is. So there's another December event for you that's the premier. That's the Super Bowl of pavement late model racing, is the Snowball Derby. And you look at the Snowball Derby winners, a lot of Derby winners have gone on to a lot of success in the NASCAR world, and vice versa. You've had NASCAR drivers win the Derby, so
and you've had dirt drivers go and run it.
Yeah, it's a premier event in all of racing. I would argue the Snowball Derby probably has a spot on Mount Rushmore of short track racing, non NASCAR F1 IndyCar type, you know, short track racing. That's certainly deserving to be on the Mount Rushmore events, and that's another one on Flow Racing. So a lot to watch just on the Flow Racing verticals, but get your subscriptions and check out Trophy Cup next week on Flow Racing if you can't make it there. Tickets still available if you go to TulariTrophyCup.com. The number to give a call there, an email is there to reach out to Josh to get your tickets ordered.
We'll even get you. That's 559-688-0909. You can call them or just go to the website, TulariTrophyCup.com. There's an email linked as well. Abreu Vineyards presents Trophy Cup 31, powered by 26 Promotions, benefiting the Racer Dean Foundation. Gary talked about all the fun events. It kicks off Wednesday night at Tulare Golf Course from 6 to late with the bracket-style horseshoe tournament. Blake, are you throwing horseshoes?
Not throwing horseshoes, but I don't know if I'm going to make it or not.
Oh, okay. What time do you get in?
Our flight lands later in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Well, I imagine I'll make it, but I don't know if I'll make it for the start.
Yeah. Well, there's a putt-putt for charity, too. That's open to all food, drinks, driving range. So come hang out. It's open to everyone to see it. The horseshoes, though, are drivers and teams. And then Thursday, night one. So gates open at 3. Racing starts at 6:15. It's casino night benefiting the Tulare County Fair Heritage Foundation. Tacos, beer, and live music by Tulare Dust Band. So that's after, and then again, same thing. Friday, gates open at 3, racing 6:15. Barbecue, beer, and live music by Cahoots. Pavilion vibes continue, and of course, Saturday is championship day. Thunderbolt Raceway and Pavilion morning festivities, red beer and breakfast burritos from 8 in the at 8 in the Pavilion. Trophy Cup, Tulare County Fair Cornhole Tournament. We talked about it from 9, or start check-ins at 9, starts at 10, open to the public, 50-50. Airmail Challenge at the Cornhole Tournament, $20 to enter. That starts at noon, benefiting the Racer Dean Foundation. Fan Fest, Blake talked about it with the live driver and team interviews, autograph session. And then gates open at 3, racing at 6:15. Raffle items available all three nights. Winners drawn Saturday night during the races. And post-race Trophy Cup party, nacho bar, music, and beer. So what could be better than the 3 days of racing and the 4 days of events down in Tulare.
And that's kind of the goal of things as we're taking this over, is to truly continue to grow it and make it an event. It's already an event, but continue to grow it and continue to expand upon that event status and add more things to do to get more fans out and really get this thing to higher ground than it already is. It's already one of the premier events in dirt track racing, but really continue to expand upon that and grow it. And that's the goal in 2026 and beyond. It's obviously this year even yet. But we'll have a good field of cars, and it's all kicks off next Thursday. So a week from this episode dropping,
you'll
be able to enjoy Tulare Trophy Cup, in a track that I've wanted to get to for years, and I love watching Tulare. I was Saturday night, was glued to my iPad watching SCCT and NARC on Flow Racing, and I'll have NARC on this Saturday night as well as they're at Antioch this week, I believe.
Something like that, yeah.
Because they've got a great points battle. So if you're looking for some racing to watch this weekend, I believe High Limit, they're back in action at Lakeside in the Kansas City area. That'll be some good racing there on Flow Racing. The Outlaws are in action over on Dirt Vision. I don't know if USAC's racing this weekend. I didn't even look, to be honest. I can't remember if they are. I'm sure USAC will be racing. I want to say they have Harvest Cup this weekend, maybe. Down at Hobstadt, but nonetheless, and NARC has their phenomenal points battle. But the NARC points battle is great, and so is the High Limit points battle. And both of them will be racing this weekend on Flow Racing, so you can check those out. Kind of get your warm, especially NARC, get a little bit of warm up for Trophy Cup, because you'll see a lot of the guys that are going to be racing with NARC are going to be in action next weekend at Trophy Cup.
Yeah, so, again, went through the entire schedule, but if you're looking for more information and to actually read it instead of hearing me say it, you can follow Tulare Trophy Cup on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Snapchat, or go to TulareTrophyCup.com, YouTube, thank you, to get all your information, see the confirmed driver post. Lisa's been doing a phenomenal job getting all those stuff out.
And so we will stay active on those social media channels throughout the course of the year. That's kind of something that we're focused on doing, and I feel like that's a big way for us to continue to grow this event, is stay active on social media, keep people looking at Trophy Cup all year long. So don't feel like, oh, you have to follow it and then unfollow it because we're going to go silent for 9 months.
Continue to follow it.
We'll be active all year long on that with posts, hopefully weekly posts, kind of counting things down, letting you know what's going to happen. And shoot, before long, we'll be opening up entries for 2026 and kind of shooting I imagine the next couple months we'll know the dates for Trophy Cup next year. As I said in the interview, I think we're going to really try to work with Kubota High Limit Racing and make sure we're not scheduled on top of them so we can hopefully pick up a couple extra superstars there.
Again, if you're looking for Skagit Speedway information, we're in the off season, but still follow us on all the same platforms. That's YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Skagit Speedway. Give us a follow or subscription. And despite the off season, we'll still be rolling out plenty of different content to keep you engaged and give you something to chew on during the sprint car off season and
give
get
us
that
a
racing.
Follow on all our social media channels with Skagit. We've got stuff coming at you every day.
Follow the podcast as well. We're going to keep pumping stuff out. And Blake and I will have some fun with the podcast. We've talked about it. We'll have it on different guests. And the podcast will still stay around the off season.
Things are winding down, but the podcast will stay ramped up as we'll start our countdown here to 2026 season before too long. Once we get the schedule rolled out, we'll be able to talk about that as we get things rolling. So that'll be fun. And boy, it's already October 8th, so as we're recording today, October 9th, so it'll be racing at Skagit Speedway before we know it.
Well, big thanks to GT for joining us. For Blake Anderson, I'm Eric List. Take care, everyone. We'll talk to you later.